BJ McAllister, current New Albany Athletic Director. Mr. Kelly was a high-level member of what we like to refer to as our old guard here at New Albany High School. The old guard is a collection of a few former Bulldog coaches, teachers, administrators, alumni, and community members that always seem to be around to help out with New Albany Athletics wherever there is a need. Mr. Kelly's passion, love, and devotion to New Albany High School Athletics and its Bulldog coaches and student athletes was just like his voice, the gold standard. Mr. Kelly embodied everything that is good about New Albany High School. Once a Bulldog, always a Bulldog. We will always love you, Mr. Kelly.
Hello and welcome in. It's a Thursday edition of the program. Our tributes to the great Lee Kelly will continue in this hour, and today is the funeral for Mr. Kelly, so we'll have more on that coming up here in just a few moments. Glad to have you with us today. We're live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. Just a reminder, if you can't be with us live at 11 o'clock, make sure you find us as a podcast. We're available each afternoon on Apple Podcast and also SoundCloud as well. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one coming up here in just a few moments. We have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll take a look at Trey Patterson. So a couple recruiting notes today here in this opening segment. The Rutgers prep prospect of the 2021 class. Indiana's on his list. He's set a date later this month for his announcement. So we'll talk some about Trey Patterson, who would be a very prized recruit for Archie Miller, out-of-state recruit, if the Hoosiers can land him. Also a recruiting note on Mason Miller, the son of Mike Miller, Memphis coach, who announced yesterday he's resigning from Memphis to pursue some other endeavors. A couple IU football things and a little bit about the coronavirus. As some of these colleges return to campus, the athletes, the football players, it seems first and foremost, for voluntary workouts this month. There have been some reports of, obviously, testing. We know that's going to go on consistently as players return, athletes return to campus. But there have been some reports of players, athletes, football players specifically, that are testing positive for the coronavirus. So it's going to be interesting to see how schools handle this. Of course, a lot of youngsters, a lot of college-age kids and younger are asymptomatic. They have the disease, but they really don't know they have it. Maybe they had a sniffle or a cough, but it's nothing too serious. So we'll cover that and more in our Zaxby's headlines coming up in just a few moments. Also, a non-sports note today that kind of rocks Southern Indiana last night and this morning. Harvest Homecoming is canceled for this 2020 fall coming up in October. I know that took a lot of people by surprise. I don't know so much that it's canceled, but that it was announced this early as we just are beginning the month of June, that the event to take place in early to mid-October is off for this year due to the threat of the virus. So we'll cover that and more in this opening segment today in our show lineup. Also, later in the hour, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. He always joins on Thursday for a chat on IU basketball and more. We'll get into some college hoops, a little bit of recruiting stuff today with Alex when he's with us. And then later in the show, the final, 16 minutes or so, all these great tributes that we've collected from, I think, around 14, 15 people, some from New Albany, some from Southern Indiana, some from media, some from basketball, just really good folks in the area that got to know Lee Kelly, that work with Lee Kelly, that admired Lee Kelly, obviously. We're going to play those back for you. And again, this is our final tribute to Lee today on the day that his funeral will take place later this afternoon. It's a private gathering later this afternoon because, obviously, of COVID-19. But we wanted to again, give a final thank you to Lee Kelly on this station. And I know he will live forever here at the Big X and even at New Albany High School on WNAS as the longtime voice of the Bulldogs. But some really great words on Lee Kelly. And so bear with us for those of you that maybe did not know Lee Kelly. You've heard his name a lot on this station over the years, and you've sure heard it a lot in the last week and a half since his passing. I appreciate those of you that have allowed us to grieve maybe on the air and play these for you each day. And again, give this great man the recognition on the radio, in the sports, in New Albany, and Southern Indiana communities really that he deserves. So the final segment today, it's our tribute, our send-off, you can say it, to Lee Kelly for all that he's done, not only for us here at the Big X, and for WNAS, a 40-year instructor of radio and television at New Albany High School. But for sports and for broadcast and for everything that we've done now for a number of years, whether he's been on the air with it or not, Lee Kelly has been involved in the creation of this show. High school play-by-play, basketball, obviously, he followed New Albany right here on the airwaves to a state championship back in 2016. Then a few years later, he was along for the ride with the Silver Creek Dragons, Lee's alma mater. He got to call their championship game here as well. And, of course, he's been my partner for nearly every high school baseball and Little League baseball game and special event and every sort of crazy idea that we've come up with to broadcast, all the season preview shows where we talk to football and basketball and baseball coaches and top players across the area. He's been game to help with all of that, and hard to know how it would go without him, and you know, obviously we've got to find that out now, but that's not something thrilling to think about. So today, after we cover some sports, after we do some of the usual stuff, the final segment of the program will be a very long tribute to Lee Kelly, and I hope that you'll stay with us for that and keep his thoughts, his family, I should say, and his friends and others in your thoughts and prayers today, as he will have his funeral later this afternoon. That's a show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Great special going on right now, the bone-in ham, 50% off. You can get that at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. But also make sure to visit the Honey Baked Ham store and check out all the new dinner package deals they have, which are now being offered. You can dine in as well as pick up, and curbside service is still available as well if you want to give them a call at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can participate in the show each day. Love to hear from you. Appreciate all of you that tweet me, that send me comments, that ask questions for our guests that we have. We have some super guests that join us each day to talk IU basketball, IU football, and, of course, sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. You can follow me on Twitter, at Hoosier Hills, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can also follow our show on Facebook. Just search The Hoosier Report. You can click like. You can get links to podcast announcements about guests that are coming up on the show, and a lot more. You can keep up with us there on Facebook as well. Don't forget to send your comments and questions. We'll read them on the air and use them for our guests today. All right, let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We start with a couple recruiting notes today. Trey Patterson, he's really a big name in the 2021 class on a national level, and a big name in the IU potential recruits category right now as well. He plays at Rutgers Prep, and last week he announced his final 10 schools. Indiana obviously was on that list. Other schools that he's going to consider, that he's going to choose from, include Villanova, Memphis, Florida, Connecticut, Maryland, Tennessee, Rutgers, Auburn, and Arkansas. And yesterday, the 6'8" forward, we call him a combo forward, from New Jersey, he announced that he's going to make his decision later in the month of June, and I believe that that date for his decision actually coincides with his birthday, June 18th. So coming up here in, a week and a half, 2 weeks, we'll know the destination of Trey Patterson. Lots of reports that Indiana has done all that they can to be very close and be very involved with him. Forget who it was that came on, but multiple people have told us since he made his list of 10 that they thought confident, even if Indiana had cut his list, or even if Patterson had cut his list to just five or less schools, that Indiana would probably be one of the finalists. So who knows if the Hoosiers will land Trey Patterson, but it definitely sounds like they are in the mix for him. And his recruitment, of course, in this odd time for recruiting, is going to come to an end fairly early in a week and a half on June 18th. One other recruiting note, a 2021 player that we talk often about on this program for an out-of-state player is Mason Miller. He's the son of former NBA player Mike Miller, who most recently has been a key assistant coach for Penny Hardaway at Memphis. And, of course, Mike Miller, very popular with recruits, very popular in the recruiting world because of his NBA time and just his personality. He's, you know, kind of got a hip-hop modern, like Penny, modern personality to him that obviously is going to be attractive to younger players. He announced yesterday, posted a statement on social media that he's stepping away. And he said, quote, "As much as I've loved this job and had a blast being part of this special program coaches building, the past few months have made me realize it's time for me to spend more time focused on family and wherever the journey will take me next." So why is this important to us? Well, because Mason Miller, a key prospect in 2021, obviously you wondered if Memphis would get him because his dad is an assistant coach there. That would make a lot of sense that he went there with his father. But there has been a lot of reports that he really likes Indiana and that he really likes the coaching staff, and that maybe if he doesn't go to Memphis to play for his father as the assistant coach, that Indiana would be the school that he chooses. And with Coach Miller not at Memphis any longer, maybe this gives the Hoosiers an even better chance to land 2021 prospect Mason Miller. So a couple small recruiting notes to open things up here on this Thursday edition of our program. We continue on in our Zaxby's headlines with a few notes about IU football. And this is all about returning to campus, returning to the voluntary workouts that are set to begin later this month. And it's reported yesterday, we talked a lot about a really big release and a return to campus plan that Indiana released Wednesday morning for football first, followed by men's basketball and women's basketball, but had a chance to kind of go through that a little bit more with a fine-tooth comb. Football perspective, they're going to return 68 players in the first group. I believe June 8th is the travel day. Workouts will begin after that. The second group, excuse me, June 15th is when that first group will be back on campus. After that, there will be a second group of football players returning. That's 25 in the second group, and then the remaining players will come in group three, and there's a two-week separation before the arrival of each of the three groups of football players. A couple other things that stood out to me in the plan that Indiana has put out. There's a 10-person limit on each half of the field. So you could have 20 athletes, you could have 20 people total on a football field spaced out social distancing at one time. The 10-person limit on each half of the field, it includes coaches and staff. So if there's going to be a coach out there on the field instructing, you're not going to have 10 players on that half of the field. Other things, participants are instructed to avoid high fives, fist bumps, handshakes. That's stuff we've seen, and that's really, I think, going to become pretty common in sports moving forward. Locker rooms will remain closed. That's another thing in the summer, whether it's high school or college, you hear a lot that locker rooms will not be available. That was also in the National Federation's high school plan. Athletes asked to shower at home. That's obviously something different, especially at the college level. And small things, especially in football, that really matter, water fountains will be shut off. So everyone will have to have their own individual water bottle, I would believe. There will be frequent checks of heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems to ensure proper airflow. That's something that obviously in a college facility with a lot of athletes around, that makes a lot of sense. Exterior doors are supposed to remain open to allow fresh air into buildings. I've noticed now at a lot of places, banks and post offices, as many doors that can be propped open safely are. Players also should come with clean clothes or change in designated areas that are not in the locker room. There's going to be a laundry service available to them at Indiana, but everything will be done separately. And just a whole list of things. Some are so common that it makes a lot of sense, and you probably should have been doing all along to have a sanitized and clean environment. But so many little details that I would have to believe it's going to take extra staff and a lot of real planning and almost changing the mental the path that you're on, just the daily things you do, your routine, that's the word I'm looking for, sorry. Your daily routine is going to have to be retrained for a lot of these players because there's going to be extra steps and extra things that they just have to do. Speaking of the coronavirus, as players return across the country, we've seen things pop up that players have tested positive. many of them, I'm sure, asymptomatic and did not know, traveling back to their campus, that they had the coronavirus. Three Oklahoma State football players yesterday tested positive for the coronavirus. I know an athlete at Iowa State has tested positive. I believe I saw at least two or three other schools where there have been reports of a positive case or more on campus, as some of these athletes and even staff returning. Going to be something interesting to watch as this happens at IU coming up soon. Other Big Ten schools, and schools I think are more apt to make announcements about this stuff right now. You're not going to get names or details, but when there is a case, in many cases they're announcing it just as kind of a public awareness. One other non-sports note in our headlines, speaking of coronavirus, the Harvest Homecoming Festival, always held in downtown New Albany. It's one of the largest open-air festivals in the state of Indiana. It has been canceled. The parade and the booth days and all the vendors, unbelievable crowd comes into the city for this event. It was announced last night after the Harvest Homecoming Committee meeting that it would not take place for the 2020 fall because of the virus threat. So you wonder, Kentucky Derby coming up in September, will it be run without fans there? Can there be fans in the infield, even social distancing? Can there be fans in the grandstand? Can there be fans on Millionaire's Row? Yes, as sports returns, and we're going to get some sports with NBA set to have a conference call later today, and they're expected to set and pass a plan to return to play. It's going to look a lot different, and I just don't know that we're going to see fans at any of this for the foreseeable future. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. Stay with us. Segment two forthcoming. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall joins. IU basketball, some recruiting things, Trey Patterson, Mason Miller, and more after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
My name is Jason Flaner, and I have had the great fortune to be associated with Lee Kelly for over 30 years. It began when he taught me how to broadcast ball games on the radio when I was a student at WNAS, and continued through my tenure as a teacher and administrator at New Albany High School, where Lee Kelly taught me to always put students' interest first and do what was best for New Albany. Then, when Lee Kelly retired, it was my privilege to be able to sit down in his office and take over WNAS. It's very seldom you're able to do what your hero did before you. I feel fortunate to have worked with Lee Kelly. I learned so much from Lee Kelly, and for better or worse, I am the man I am today because of Lee Kelly.
Ferber from WITZ and WQKZ in Jasper, Indiana, ESPN Plus, the ISC Network, and the Champions Radio Network. Much sadness that I found out about the passing of my good friend Lee Kelly. The good thing is he's not suffering anymore. And the bad thing is, since I've been 17 years old, he's been there any time that I needed him. I was a high school senior at New Albany in his first year teaching at WNAS and New Albany High School, and he taught me radio, but he taught me a lot more than about radio. He's one of the few people that could kick me in the butt, and I would know when he was doing it was for my own good. And he's defended me in what's been a cutthroat industry now for over 40 years. And I know I'm not alone. I know he's done the same thing for many, many other students that have come through since back in the early 70s. I also will never forget how much he helped my youngest son, John, when he was a member of the faculty at New Albany High School. He, along with Bob Douche, were great mentors to my son. I'm not going to lie, this one hurts. Sally and the entire family, you have the Ferber family's love and many, many prayers.
And we're back on this Thursday program, joined in this segment by Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, as we talk IU basketball and more with Alex each week in this Thursday segment. Alex, I mentioned in our opening segment today, Trey Patterson. Last week, he made a list of 10 schools Indiana believed to be very solid in that list. And then yesterday, he announced that he's going to make a decision coming up on his birthday. later this month on June 18th. Since that moment that he put IU on his list, and of course yesterday announcing his decision date, a lot of IU fans are antsy to know what is the Hoosiers' real opportunity here to land this out-of-state player for Rutgers Prep in New Jersey. Your insight, your thoughts on Trey Patterson and his recruitment as it takes a turn for the end.
Yeah, obviously Indiana's done a really good job here to be kind of in that final group of schools. Anytime a player cuts a list to 10, I would say that there's probably some schools on there that really aren't in that strong of consideration. And maybe for some reason something accelerated here with Patterson. It's kind of the timing with him just trimming to 10 in late May, and then now he's going to go ahead and make his decision. He's obviously made up his mind, or at least has an idea of a group of schools that he wants to pick from. My gut tells me, and this is not based on any insight or inside information, is that Indiana's in that top group of schools. They did get him on campus for an official visit. However, it seems like it's going to be an uphill battle to get him away from Villanova. I've kind of followed the experts and some of their predictions, both on Rivals and on 24/7, and it seems like there's a lot of momentum for Villanova. So, you know, the tough thing about recruiting is you can do a really good job and come in second or third. I'm not saying that Indiana is completely out of the mix, so they won't get him. It just seems like with the timing and everything, with him being from the East Coast, that it may be hard to pry him away. That could be something that works in Indiana's favor here later as we get into the recruiting cycle, the pandemic. Guys that they've already had on campus that could help them maybe down the line land some commitments. But my gut right now is telling me that Patterson is likely to stay on the East Coast, but Indiana is clearly still going to try to recruit him and stay in that top tier of schools and hope to land his commitment.
I know we've talked about this, but one of the strong points of Archie Miller clearly has been recruiting in his time at IU. He's done very, very well with players from within the state of Indiana, which is something that desperately needed some positive change there. But I think from an out-of-state perspective, as far as this Big Ten footprint, recruiting successfully, not just from the state of Indiana, but a footprint of the Big Ten Conference, Indiana, you know, they could use a commitment or two from a solid prospect, a ranked prospect, to maybe kind of increase the foothold on things outside of the state now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Patterson is technically, I guess, within the Big Ten footprint because he's not too far from Rutgers. But it's you know, I think you can build a really good team getting just kids from Indiana and the Midwest. But at some point, I think Indiana fans will kind of want Indiana to go beyond that a little bit and maybe grab some talent from around the country. That's not to say that they haven't done that under Archie Miller. They have a little bit, obviously. Somebody like Rice Thompson comes to mind, Jake Forrester, Jordan Geronimo. There's been obviously some guys that they've kind of landed from outside the footprint of the traditional Indiana recruiting base. But I think that's kind of the next logical step. And maybe that doesn't come until Indiana's maybe able to get back into the tournament, win some games, and prove that, you know, it's a destination spot once again for recruits. I mean, there's obviously going to be an uphill battle anytime you've now gone 4 years without making the NCAA tournament. That hurts your brand a little bit, but I think all it's going to take is one run or maybe getting back to the tournament for a couple of years and they can turn that around real quick.
Alex Bozich inside the hall, my guest. Another recruiting note that I mentioned earlier in the program is Mason Miller, another out-of-state player. And his father, a former NBA player, assistant coach at Memphis, announcing yesterday that he's going to resign from that position to just see what's next. Indiana was thought to be maybe one of the schools that had a legit chance to land Mason Miller if he didn't do the logical thing, which probably was to go to Memphis and play for his father. But now his father is not at Memphis. How do you size up the Mason Miller recruitment? Another out-of-state 2021 guy that's a very, very big interest.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Sorry, my dog here barks in the background.
Okay.
But it's the one thing I think that people maybe don't know about Mason Miller and the connection there is that Tom Ostrom, who's kind of Indiana's ace recruiter, associate head coach, was at
the University of Florida when Mike Miller was a player there. He was both an administrative assistant and a video coordinator, I believe, from 1998 to 2002. And that was right along the time frame that Mike Miller was playing for Florida. As you don't remember, you remember that he was part of their team that went to the national championship game in 2000 and lost to Michigan State. And then Ostrom later became an assistant coach at Florida and moved along, and now is obviously with Archie Miller, Indiana. So that's the connection to the Miller family. Ostrom's known Mike Miller for a long time, and I think this is probably a positive for Indiana. I don't think it was a foregone conclusion that he was going to go to Memphis, but if his dad's no longer there, I think it opens up the possibility that maybe he goes somewhere else. So Indiana's definitely been one of the schools that has been active in his recruitment. As I said, the relationship is there with Tom Ostrom and Mike Miller. So we'll see how this all progresses. But, yeah, that was an interesting thing to come out. I'll be interested to see kind of what Mike Miller does next.
Alex, with no live events for coaches to get out and watch, July is now an extended part of the dead period. There's been some discussion if possible there could be an August or September window for coaches to get out. I'm sure events would fill that window. But with nothing on the calendar right now, Trey Patterson making his decision here in a week and a half or so, do you think we'll see some of these 2021 guys maybe go ahead and try to figure it out early despite not getting to play through some more evaluation time and despite maybe not being able to go visit at least in person some of the schools that they are interested in?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty strong possibility that that's going to be the case. There's really no timeline on when guys are going to be able to start taking visits again. As you know, the dead period has been extended through July 31st. I think the other thing you mentioned, the possibility of some events in the fall, what are those events going to look like? I mean, Nike's come out now, and to me, the UIBL is kind of the gold standard for grassroots where all the top players like to play. Obviously Adidas and Under Armour have really done a good job as well. But if Nike's not going to hold any events this year, which it doesn't sound like they're even open to the possibility of fall events, even if there are evaluation periods, what are those going to look like? It seems like it's going to be a pretty watered-down product. So I think the main thing to keep an eye on is when players are going to be able to actually get on campus and take visits. If this moratorium in the dead period continues, beyond July, and guys can't get on campus this fall, then sure, I think a lot of decisions are going to be happening. And as I've said many times, I think that favors the schools that did the junior year official visits, like in Indiana did with, say, Blake Wesley, Trey Kaufman, they had on campus a lot. Those are the kind of situations where it could pay dividends for Indiana to have their work done early, have those relationships built, because if guys can't go on campus, they're going to go with probably what's most familiar to them and the schools that have been on them the longest. I think Indiana did a pretty good job with the 2021 class.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Alex is with me Thursdays, and you can follow his coverage of Indiana at InsideTheHall.com and at InsideTheHall on Twitter. Alex, players are starting to return to campuses, not to Indiana just yet. That'll come soon, starting with football athletes for voluntary workouts. But as players return, there's going to be testing, there's protocols, there's checkups, there's all the right things that need to be in place. But as they've started to return, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, I think I saw Marshall, maybe a few others, there have already been some cases of the coronavirus that have been caught by testing upon arrival to campuses. This is something that I think, especially with student-athletes that are young and healthy, likely asymptomatic, they have not even had any symptoms whatsoever. They think they're okay. They think maybe they have a cough or the sniffles, and they return to campus for football or even basketball workouts. This is going to happen, I think, in the Big Ten. I think it's likely it happens on most every college campus when you're dealing with this number of players. But going to be interesting to see how this is all handled and if schools report this sort of thing and how ultimately this could maybe derail plans for a return to college football, or maybe how this is just something that's going to be treated and protocols in place and try to move through it.
Yeah, I saw that some schools have been reporting, and I think I saw the University of Louisville said they weren't going to disclose whether or not they had any positive tests. I think that's a mistake. I don't know what Indiana is going to do, but, you know, I think transparency is very important for all of these situations. I'm not saying you have to name who had it or even who, you know, what program they were in, but I think it's helpful just to kind of know the situation and for others to be made aware of it. And I think, you know, it's important that testing continues to happen and that they're able to identify these situations before it can spread and you isolate and you do your best to contain it. You know, the one thing I think we all don't want to see is things shut down again or, you know, kind of going back to square one. So I think it's important that, you know, people continue to be careful and do their best to mitigate the spread. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, Indiana's coming up, I think, a couple weeks when guys are for basketball are going to start to come back on campus, and it's all going to be voluntary, obviously, so we'll see how everything works out in that regard. But I'm just hopeful that it can be a safe return as possible. And as you mentioned, it's inevitable. There's going to be positive tests. There's a lot of asymptomatic cases everywhere, and, you know, the only thing you can do is be careful and test and hope that you don't have some type of larger spread that leads to any serious health situations for anybody.
Yeah, for sure. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, with me Thursdays. Check him out at InsideTheHall.com. Alex, thanks so much for the chat today.
Absolutely, Matt. Thank you. Have a good one.
We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, again, this is our final tribute, you could say, our send-off to Lee Kelly, a man very important to sports and radio and media here in Southern Indiana for a number of years. And here in the past, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, very, very involved with our coverage at the Big X. His funeral is later today. We've mentioned him numerous times on this show and on this station over the last week and a half or so. You've heard tributes coming in and out of every commercial break on this show. Here's kind of a compilation clip we'll play after this final break of all the tributes and a few other memories of Lee Kelly as we prepare to lay him to rest later today. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with our final segment, a tribute to Lee Kelly, after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
I'm Bud Stumpy with WXKU Radio in Seymour. I first met Lee Kelly in 1968 when we worked together at WJCD in Seymour. We were just two young guys just getting our feet wet in the radio business and kind of learning on the fly. We spent hours challenging each other with sports trivia. And Lee would dig deep into that memory bag for questions about the Big Train, Walter Johnson, Pee Wee Reese, and others. He never lost that love for sports and was always willing to share his expertise with the rest of us. For 52 years, we had a friendship that I will always cherish. He was engaging, he was courteous, and he had a sense of humor that made him a joy to be around. And he was a friend that was always there to help you at a moment's notice. For those of us that were fortunate enough to have known Lee Kelly as a dear friend, our lives have been blessed by a man we won't forget.
This is Matt Dennison, and to follow are a number of tributes to the great Lee Kelly, who passed away Monday, May 25th, Memorial Day 2020. Lee had a huge impact on my life, first as his student, broadcasting New Albany athletic events by his side on WNAS, and later as a tremendous friend and trusted mentor as he joined our pursuit of great Southern Indiana sports coverage here at the Big X. These tributes aired on my daily show, The Hoosier Report, from shortly after Lee's passing until his funeral. Rest well, Mr. Kelly.
Hi, I'm Alex Bozich, a 2000 graduate of New Albany High School and the editor of Inside the Hall. I first met Mr. Kelly in my early days of playing Little League, where he coached me on a couple of different occasions. Later, he was my teacher at New Albany High School, and in recent years, I was fortunate enough to get to talk to him each week about IU basketball when he co-hosted the Hoosier Report on Thursdays with Matt Dennison. Those were conversations that I looked forward to each week and that I will miss. Mr. Kelly was always someone I looked up to. He was a positive role model, kind to everyone, and cared so much about his students. The Southern Indiana community lost a great man who touched so many lives and had a significant impact on his family, friends, and family, especially his wife Sally, his daughter Dina, and his grandchildren, whom I know he loved dearly. Rest in peace, Lee.
This is Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek Boys Basketball talking about my friend Lee Kelly. I would always love talking to Lee because he always made you feel special. Whether it was in person or on the radio, he was the consummate pro. And he was very proud. You could tell he was a very proud person of all the work he had done in New Albany, the students he had, the work that he had put in there. And he was also very proud of his alma mater, the Dragons. I think the thing that will always stand out with me for Lee is how much everyone loved him. His co-workers, all the coaches in the area, his former students, everyone loved Lee. And he is definitely getting a well done from the man upstairs.
My name's Chris McIntyre. I'm the head baseball coach at New Albany. I met Lee in 1994 when I first came to New Albany. Lee immediately introduced himself and made me feel welcome. Probably one of the greatest memories I have with Lee are the too numerous to count road trips to ball games and various other activities. Sometimes it would be just Lee and I, but most of the time it would be with a group of coaches or teachers. Just wonderful memories. Also had the opportunity to coach Lee's son, Josh, in baseball. So have just tremendous amount of respect for Lee and what he meant to not just New Albany, but to everyone he touched. We're going to miss Lee dearly.
BJ McAllister, current New Albany Athletic Director. Mr. Kelly was a high-level member of what we like to refer to as our old guard here at New Albany High School. The old guard is a collection of a few former Bulldog coaches, teachers, administrators, alumni, and community members that always seem to be around to help out with New Albany athletics wherever there is a need. Mr. Kelly's passion, love, and devotion to New Albany High School athletics and its Bulldog coaches and student athletes was just like his voice, the gold standard. Mr. Kelly embodied everything that is good about New Albany High School. Once a Bulldog, always a Bulldog. We will always love you, Mr. Kelly.
This is Joe Glover, Director of Athletics at IU Southeast and a New Albany High School alum who was a student sports broadcaster on WNAS. Mr. Kelly was more than just a teacher of radio and television. He was a teacher of life, and he went out of his way every day to make sure that you knew that he cared about you and your success. Some of my favorite memories were broadcasting Bulldog basketball and football games with him on Friday and Saturday nights during my time at New Albany. I learned so much from him, and he truly was the best mentor I've ever had. We remained close all these years later, and I still got to enjoy an occasional radio appearance with him right here on WXVW. I'll cherish those memories forever. He may be gone, but his legendary voice remains ever strong and as articulate as ever in our memories. His legacy will continue to live in his former students and the generations of sports broadcasters he trained. Rest in peace, my friend. We love you, and we will miss you.
This is Don Unruh, former athletic director at New Albany High School. I was starting my senior year at New Albany High School in the fall of 1973, and I enrolled in the WNAS radio class. My teacher, a first-year teacher named Mr. Lee Kelly. 47 years later, his influence on my life has been immeasurable. Even as a first-year teacher, Lee had the ability to talk to students in such a way to make us feel like there was nothing we couldn't do or become. We would travel to broadcast games in the old blue WNAS van, talking sports, laughing a lot, and of course, finding the best places to eat. Lee had a natural gift of listening, advising, and most importantly, caring that many years of NAHS students have been the recipients of. I'm also fortunate to have had Lee as a colleague. He was a friend, a mentor, and a sounding board for me on countless occasions over the years. Lee touched the lives of so many. He was a very, very special person who will be missed by all. My thoughts and prayers are with Sally, Dina, and the family.
I'm Bud Stuppy with WXKU Radio in Seymour. I first met Lee Kelly in 1968 when we worked together at WJCD in Seymour. We were just two young guys just getting our feet wet in the radio business and kind of learning on the fly. We spent hours challenging each other with sports trivia, and Lee would dig deep into that memory bag for questions about the Big Train, Walter Johnson, Pee Wee Reese, and others. He never lost that love for sports and was always willing to share his expertise with the rest of us. For 52 years, we had a friendship that I will always cherish. He was engaging, he was courteous, and he had a sense of humor that made him a joy to be around. And he was a friend that was always there to help you at a moment's notice. For those of us that were fortunate enough to have known Lee Kelly as a dear friend, our lives have been blessed by a man we won't forget.
This is Vernon Niemeyer. When you say Lee Kelly, what do you think of? A man that was honest, a man that was caring, a man that worked very well with young people in the classroom and on the sports field, and a man with a golden voice. I worked with Lee for 26 years at New Albany Heights and enjoyed every minute of it. Yes, I would slip in his office and have coffee. I worked for 20 years with Lee, MC the Harvest Homecoming Parade, which he did a very great job at, and the people with Harvest Homecoming loved Lee. We would take the minibus on trips with the staff from New Albany High School, the basketball games, football games, and if we went to Evansville, you knew that Lee was going to pick the restaurant that we ate at, the Log Inn. Lee, rest in peace. You will be missed.
My name is Jason Flainer, and I have had the great fortune to be associated with Lee Kelly for over 30 years. It began when he taught me how to broadcast ball games on the radio when I was a student at WNAS, and continued through my tenure as a teacher and administrator at New Albany High School, where Lee Kelly taught me to always put students' interest first and do what was best for New Albany. Then, when Lee Kelly retired, it was my privilege to be able to sit down in his office and take over WNAS. It's very seldom you're able to do what your hero did before you. I feel fortunate to have worked with Lee Kelly. I learned so much from Lee Kelly, and for better or worse, I am the man I am today because of Lee Kelly.
Hi, my name's Kent Sterling, and I've built a career in radio, both as a program director and host, in large part because of the lessons taught me by Lee Kelly when I was his student at WNAS-FM, part of the New Albany High School curriculum. Lee Kelly was patient, he was tolerant, and if he wasn't patient or tolerant, I wouldn't have become the man I've become, and I wouldn't have any career whatsoever in radio. Lee was great about allowing us to make mistakes, pointing us in the right direction so we didn't make the mistake again, but not killing us for those mistakes. He was a wonderful man, a wonderful husband, a wonderful father, and a terrific teacher, and his legacy that will survive long beyond all of us is one of patience and tolerance and professionalism, and I couldn't be more thankful for being blessed by his presence in my life. Our best to Sally and Dina as they move through this tough time, a tough time for all of us. Anybody who is touched by Lee Kelly at any point during his life is mourning him today.
One of my fondest and coincidentally earliest memories of Lee Kelly was being a high school student in his radio and TV program and telling him that I aspired to be a sports reporter. I wanted to be a sideline reporter, and this was 20 years ago when there were even fewer opportunities, especially for women in sports broadcasting. And instead of telling me how difficult it would be, how competitive the industry is, how much adversity there might be along the way, he said, okay, here's what you gotta do. And he gave me every example of people he knew in the business who had done that, accomplished that, worked in similar capacities, and told me all of the resources that I could utilize that were there for me, even in the high school level, to be able to start honing in on those skills that I would need. And he wrote recommendations to get internships to be sure that every step of the way I was supported and encouraged and confident.
Hi, this is Dugan Ryan, owner and general manager here at the Big X. I first met Lee Kelly after his retirement from WNAS, where he touched so many students and did such a great job with WNAS, making it literally one of the most renowned and most legendary high school run radio stations in the country. Such great facilities, and Lee did a lot for WNAS, and they were very fortunate to have him all those years. And during his post-retirement years, Lee worked with us here at the Big X and was the quintessential team player, literally did everything that or anything we needed him to do, from color and broadcast to play-by-play. He was part of some magical runs on the air with New Albany's run to the state championship. He called that with Hall of Famer Greg Bell. And last year, the Silver Creek state championship run, which it was so neat to hear Lee call the game for his alma mater. His post-game interview with Coach Hoffman is one I'll never forget. Lee was just a special man and a good friend, and we're truly going to miss him.
Hi, it's Rick Bozich of WDRB in Louisville. If you're making a list of people who invested in young people in New Albany, you better put Lee Kelly at the top of your list. I know Lee's identity was the voice of the New Albany Bulldogs. He was unforgettably entertaining in that role. But the Lee Kelly I knew was much more than that. My son Alex and daughter Maggie graduated from New Albany High School, and there's not a teacher more loved or respected than Mr. Kelly. He was more than their teacher. He was their friend, somebody ready to help, listen, do whatever was needed. That was the Lee Kelly I met more than three decades ago at New Albany Little League, another place where he invested in the youth of New Albany. Whether it was coaching, organizing, fundraising, or taking care of the grounds, Lee contributed every way a parent could contribute. Lee Kelly set the standard for investing in young people. It's up to the rest of us to follow his lead.
This is Jim Shannon, basketball coach at New Albany High School. While I'm still trying to deal with the loss of my friend, Lee Kelly, I certainly want to pay tribute to such a giant of a man. Lee was the voice, the golden voice of New Albany High School. And in my mind, I can still see him getting everything set up on the catwalk for our home games at the doghouse. And I can see him arriving early for our away games. He even rode the bus with us a handful of times as we traveled to away games. Lee was much more than a radio broadcaster. He was a great leader. He was a tremendous teacher, and he was a first-class friend to so many people. Our little gatherings in Floyd's barbershop before the start of the school day are filled with laughter and really beautiful memories. Lee Kelly's legacy will be remembered by the thousands of us who knew him, and we will tell future generations just how great he was. I thought I'd have more time to see and speak with Lee. I really did. I'm so very sad that I will not, but I thank God that I was blessed to know him. Thank you, Lee Kelly, and God bless the Lee Kelly family as they will remain in our prayers.
Hi, I'm Walt Ferber from WITZ and WQKZ in Jasper, Indiana, ESPN Plus, the ISC Network, and the Champions Radio Network. Much sadness that I found out about the passing of my good friend, Lee Kelly. The good thing is, he's not suffering anymore. The bad thing is, since I've been 17 years old, he's been there any time that I needed him. I was a high school senior at New Albany in his first year teaching at WNAS and New Albany High School, and he taught me radio, but he taught me a lot more than about radio. He's one of the few people that could kick me in the butt, and I would know when he was doing it, it was for my own good. And he's defended me in what's been a cutthroat industry now for over 40 years. And I know I'm not alone. I know he's done the same thing for many, many other students that have come through since back in the early 70s. I also will never forget how much he helped my youngest son, John, when he was a member of the faculty at New Albany High School. He, along with Bob Douche, were great mentors to my son. I'm not going to lie, this one hurts. Sally and the entire family, you have the Ferber family's love and many, many prayers.
Hi, this is Zach McCrite, and I want to add my condolences to the Kelly family on the passing of Lee. It's still weird to call him Lee. He just commanded so much respect, even though he was softer spoken. And I just was so jealous of not being a New Albany Bulldog for my high school career for one reason, and that was because I didn't get to work under Mr. Kelly in the WNAS radio TV department. He made that a larger in life thing for somebody who wanted to be in media like myself. But I'm so glad that we got to call games together, including the Romeo Run. And I know it was important to him, the Silver Creek High School basketball state championship run last year. And he was my first Little League coach. So we go back a long way, and I'm going to miss him dearly. Rest in peace, Mr. Kelly. Condolences to the Kelly family. And what gives me solace is he gets to see his son again.